It is Easter. Happy Easter. It wasn't just last Sunday. We're in the great 50 days of Easter, in which we continue to celebrate the risen Jesus. We say and sing lots of alleluias. We have fun and beautiful, fulfilling music. We hear themes of death being defeated and resurrection realized. Even in our collect today, the second Sunday in Easter, we hear words like reconciliation, rebirth, and professing faith. And in our worship, we are thanking God for raising Jesus from the grave. Our gospel proclaims this post-resurrection interaction between Jesus and his disciples. And we hear a space of tension. Believing in the resurrected Jesus as Son of God is not easy. We keep reading this gospel over and over again, and it still isn't easy for those who were in the room and sometimes for us. And so I'm curious, why do you believe? Now, there are enough of us in this room that I'm not going to go around and ask each of you to share why you believe in the resurrected Jesus. But maybe it's a good question to write down and consider. Why do you believe? What keeps me believing? What keeps you believing? And what does believing do for us? Maybe our lack of believing causes us tension in our chest. Kind of a dangerous space to talk about in church, right? Because sometimes it's assumed that we just believe it all. And yet, we still come to the table. Thomas wrestled. He still came to the table. Because why you believe, why I believe is a dynamic response every single time. It is shaped by our lived experience. We have different stories and different paths that we wander, or holes that we fall down, or simply sit on the ground and say, I can't go any further. However, we keep being woven together in God's love. Sometimes I think faith is this space where we keep trying. Belief is this space where we say, I'm going to try to stay open, God. It's not easy, and I'm going to try. So I want to tell you a story. This weekend was my 30th high school reunion. I know, it's shocking. I couldn't have possibly been out of high school that long. So I have never been to a reunion. I didn't want to go. It took me too far back to vulnerability and like my awkward teenage stuff, and like my heart's pounding really hard even talking about it. Like I got myself into a headache on Friday. My husband gave me several rousing, motivating talks. I couldn't find a babysitter, and he had baseball practice he had to do with our son, and I said, fine, I'll just go by myself. And I only went for Friday night to a dinner, and it was better than I thought. I survived. That sounds dramatic, I know, but if you work with me, you know that I was hemming and hawing about it this week. So some people that I went to school with know that I'm a priest. And if you are in ministry, or if people know that you're a churchy person, maybe people come up to you and say, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Or they don't want to talk to you at all about Jesus and they avoid eye contact. But one person came up to me and she said, you know, I really struggle. I'm not sure I believe. And she paused. She said, but I've got to tell you, in the wake of my mom's death, I keep reflecting on life and realizing that I keep being put exactly where I need to be. I don't understand it, and yet I keep seeing that something bigger is going on. Something bigger is going on. That realization has brought her peace. She's not totally peaceful, but like she's at a deeper space of peace. So even if we're not sure that we believe or how we can express it, when we crash into belief in Jesus and resurrection hope, Jesus' resounding message in this gospel today keeps coming up for us. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace come alive within you. My hypothesis is that that's one of the things belief in the resurrected Jesus does for us. It brings peace to life in us. But not just for our own selfish purposes of, I feel so nurtured. I went to church and I feel great. That's not the purpose, right? It's not just self-help for the sake of feeling better about self, right? It's not like going to the spa, getting our nails done. I love getting my nails done. Then I always mess up the polish. But I do it, but then it doesn't always fix the angst within me, right? I listened to a podcast this week that Kate Bowler had with Rainn Wilson. And if you don't know who Rainn Wilson is, he played Dwight Schrute on The Office. Very quirky, quite brilliant. And I almost called him Dwight. Rainn and Kate Bowler are having this conversation. And he talks about diseases of despair and how young people especially are lost and feel untethered. And he grew up in the Baha'i faith. And what Rainn ultimately gets to, he has a new book that he's also promoting and talking to young people. He's going to college campuses around the country. But what I took away from one of his insights was that when we're facing despair, because we all face despair, whether we're willing to name it or not, the greater footing, we have greater and stronger footing, rather, when faith and mystery are part of what we're welcoming. Because faith and mystery take us out of ourself. Okay? They take us out of ourself and lifting our eyes to connection with others and some greater power that some of us call God. We keep coming to the table. We don't always understand everything at the table, but we keep coming into this space. You see, in our gospel today, we hear about Thomas, who missed out on Jesus revealing himself in the upper room. And Thomas's feelings, I imagine, are probably hurt. He's like, oh man, I'm ticked off. I'm not going to believe until I see it, right? Have you ever been like that? I missed out. I'm not happy about that. And yet Jesus keeps proclaiming, peace be with you. Thomas said, I will not believe unless I get to experience it hands-on. I will not believe, he said. Have you ever bargained with God like that? God, if you'll just give me X, Y, and Z, then I will be very faithful to you. Doesn't always work out that way. But in this case, Thomas says, I'm not going to believe, and Jesus shows up again. See, Thomas was not sure, and yet he kept coming to the table. He wasn't sure about his belief. Because it's risky to say, I believe in this really great guy who rose from the dead. Like, it's easy to be a nice, well, it's challenging to be a nice person, but Jesus' resurrection from the dead is what distinguished him from others far and away. And so Jesus starts with, peace be with you. Whenever we draw near to the table, peace be with you. And then Thomas proclaims, my Lord and my God. He names this interaction with the divine. He keeps coming to the table, and in doing so, he is reconnected. He is reconciled. And he professes his faith. It's a resurrection moment for Thomas's faith as well. And it's for sure, like, we hold on and we keep savoring this story because we pray, too, that we will have those moments that break us open. And the goal, I believe, is not that we all have these earth-shattering aha experiences, but that as we hear in the final line of this gospel, through believing that Jesus is the Messiah, you may have life in his name, you may have love in his name, you may have generosity in his name. That Acts community that we hear about in that first reading from this morning, peace and assurance, not for self, but for connection, for community, and for hope in God. Our young people, second graders mostly, got together about a month ago in a class that we call Come to the Table, where they learned about Eucharist. And so today they will come around the altar during communion. Any of the little people who were here during that class will come up, and then after the service, the parents or grandparents who are bringing those kids will pick up a bowl that each of those kids decorated. Now, it's supposed to be a chalice, but as you know, a chalice is a little higher and is more likely to topple over. So this is a little more balanced. So it's an ice cream bowl, but it's a reminder-ish to keep coming to the table, to keep trying to believe. And each child has decorated theirs in a unique way. Because like Thomas, sometimes we need tangible reminders to pull us back to the table. We need tangible reminders to stay tethered to our faith. And sometimes our connections with one another are those reminders of telling stories of faith, whether they're challenging or beautiful or hilarious. We keep coming to the table so that we may have life in the name of Jesus. Amen.